You turn with me, please, to the 22nd chapter of Genesis, reading from verse 1. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, or test him, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, Father. He said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it said, To this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven, and said the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. I have prepared to speak to you on essentials for pleasing God. The Apostle Paul, as we have it in the New Testament, tells us that his aim was to please the Lord. We labor that we may be accepted of him. Now, in other translations of that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:9, it says, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. Or, more than anything else, we want to please him. The Good News Bible says that. More than anything else, we want to please him. The Living Bible says, our aim is to please him always, in everything. That puts things very clearly, doesn't it? The only real aim in life is to please our blessed Lord. When we think of all that he has done for us, coming down from glory, becoming man, living his life here upon earth, and then going to that cross, taking all the awful pain of that death. And just think of it, the thorns piercing his brow and that crown of thorns, blood dripping down his face, his hands and his feet nailed to the cross, and then finally that awful spear thrust in his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And when we think of all the terrible suffering of our blessed Lord, knowing that it was all for me and for you, for each one of us, that he bore that terrible suffering, should not our aim in life be, as the apostle put it, to please him? Our aim is to please him. Now I want to speak to you, as our brother David Polly has already said, I prepared four different studies, all on this subject of the essentials for pleasing God. And the first is, that we're going to speak of today, is that of wholehearted obedience. Without that we can't please God. And then I want to go on later, absolute submission, complete separation, unreserved surrender. And they're the four things that I hope to speak on concerning this subject, or our aim in life, to be pleasing unto our blessed Lord Jesus. Now today, the first thing that is necessary, if we're going to think of pleasing our Lord at all, is this of absolute, wholehearted obedience. And we have that brought before us very clearly, do we not, in this story that I've read of Abraham. It starts off by saying, after these things, God tested Abraham. What were these things after which God tested him? God had already prepared in Abraham's life for the testing that was going to come. I haven't time this morning to speak of it all, but if you go home and read chapter 20 and chapter 21 that come before this 22 where we have read this morning, we find there two different things at least after which the Lord tested Abraham. And the first was that of moral reserve. Abraham didn't manifest an absolute trust and confidence in God as he spoke. In chapter 20, he spoke to his wife, Sarah, and he said, look, you're a nice looking woman. Other people will want to take you off, and they'll kill me in order to take you. Now look, don't you say you're my wife anymore. When we come amongst these other people, and men come and look at you and so on, you just say that you're my sister. That'll save my life. It manifests the fact that Abraham did not have a full confidence in the Lord, does it not? He couldn't put the whole matter in God's hands. He had to think out this plan and get his wife to speak of being his sister so that they might take her away and spare his life if such a thing should happen. Then when we come to chapter 21, we find another matter there. Chapter 21, where he sends off Ishmael. You remember that he'd had Ishmael from Sarah's maid, Hagar. Sarah was barren, and she so wanted the son, she couldn't have one. All right, you take my maid, and she'll have a son, and I'll bring that son up as mine. What happened? Well, in verse chapter 21, you'll read how that did happen, that Abraham had a son from Hagar, Ishmael. But finally, he wasn't prepared to put Ishmael into the place of heir to all the promises of God. And he sends Ishmael off. Now, it was after these things, after these moral problems in Abram's life that he hadn't settled very satisfactorily, after these things, God was going to test Abraham in a very real way. And so he says to Abraham, take your son, Isaac, that son you love, your beloved, take him and offer him up as a sacrifice to me in the hill that I'll tell you where. Unless we've read that story, did you notice how Abraham argued about it? Oh no, no, there was no argument about it. There's no murmuring against God. God said, take Isaac and offer him up. And without a word, he got up early the next morning. And Abraham rose up early the next morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Absolute obedience. There was no sparring with God about it. He'd already sent Ishmael away. And now God says, take Isaac and offer him up to me. All right, God, Abraham says, and he goes up, gets up early the next morning, manifesting his eagerness to obey God. Gets up early in the morning and saddles his ass and gathers his servants together and go off to the place which God had told him of, purposing there to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice to God. It's wonderful to notice Abraham's absolute obedience, wholehearted obedience, without a murmur, without a word of complaint, without a word of argument. All right, you tell me that, I'll go. And he goes. And when they get to the place, Abram takes Isaac aside, leaves his men behind him. And notice what Abram says. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. There was no thought in Abram's heart that he was going to lose Isaac, was there? Offer him up on the sacrifice as a sacrifice on the altar. All right, I'll do it, Lord. But you promised him. You promised me that he's going to be my heir. If I offer him up to you, how can he be my heir? Abraham was prepared to believe that even if he offered up Isaac on that altar, God would bring him back again in order to fulfill his promise. We will come again to you, says Abraham. I'm going up there to worship. He doesn't say to his servants, I'm going to offer up Isaac there as a sacrifice, but that was in his heart. That's what I told him to do. I will offer up Isaac there, and we will come back again to you. How could he say that when he knew he was going to kill Isaac and offer him up as a sacrifice? We will come back again. Oh, the depth of Abraham's faith and trust and confidence in God. No wonder he's willing to be obedient. The reality of his faith is manifest, and we must remember that there can be no real obedience to God without faith. faith is the foundation that will lead to our obedience. And as one of the most essential things in seeking to please God, we must be ready to obey, no matter what the cost. For Abraham to obey at that time was going to be a tremendous cost to him, wasn't it? His only son, Isaac, whom he loved, was going to offer him up as a sacrifice. That was the cost of obedience to Abraham. An obedience to God always calls for sacrifice. Are we prepared to yield to God that obedience? So Abraham goes with Isaac, and he takes Isaac, and he puts him on the altar, and he takes his knife, just about to stab him to death, when out of the heavens comes that voice again, "Abraham, Abraham." "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God." Now I know. How? "Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And that is why God blessed Abraham. Because he was prepared, absolutely, at whatever cost, fully and wholeheartedly, to obey God. Are we prepared to pay the cost of obedience? Obedience to God, in whatever it may be, always asked. We may never be called upon to sacrifice, as Abraham was, his utmost treasure. But we are called upon to sacrifice ourselves in absolute and complete and wholehearted surrender to our blessed Lord. That's God's demand upon us. Are we prepared, like Abraham, wholeheartedly to obey? Let us remember that obedience is really the first step in the essential of pleasing God. If, like the Apostle Paul, we're going to make it our aim in life to be pleasing to him who has given his life for us, if, like the Apostle Paul, we're going to make it our aim so to live and so to be that we shall in all things be pleasing to our blessed Lord, then we've got to be prepared to sacrifice. We've got to be prepared to give to him that full and absolute obedience, whatever it may mean, at whatever cost, to give ourselves in absolute, wholehearted obedience to our blessed Lord, and then shall we be well pleasing to him. After all, such obedience is the full expression of our devotion, is it not? We come together on the Lord's Day morning to worship our blessed Lord. But after all, how much does our devotion to him cause us? How much are we really devoted to him? Is it just a habit of life, and Sunday morning to come together in order that we might remember the Lord? We've done it for years, of course. This is the way of life. This is our what we ought to do, and we just come together. But is there any real and true devotion of heart to the Lord as we come together to this table to remember our blessed Lord? Is there any real wholehearted devotion to Him who has done so much for us? Are we seeking to make this our real aim in life, to be well pleasing to our blessed Lord? If so, then we must be prepared in the first place as an essential to be wholeheartedly obedient to our blessed Lord in all things. That needs us to search our hearts, doesn't it? It doesn't want me to point out things in any way. It's a matter of our own self-devotion to the Lord, to search our own hearts, to make sure that we're not withholding from Him what He asks us for. We find, as we have read, that Abraham made no murmur of any sort at all when the Lord said, "Go and take Isaac and offer him up to me." "What, Lord? Oh, I can't give him up. I've already sent Ishmael away. No, I can't give him up." No, there's nothing like that with Abraham, is there? Not a murmur. He gets up very early the next morning to get ready and to go off to offer up Isaac as God had said. Are we prepared to act as Abraham did? Are we prepared to give Him, our God, the full obedience of our hearts, as did Abraham, whatever may be the cost? It was a tremendous cost for Abraham, wasn't it? And yet he was prepared to do it. Are we? May the Lord help us to search our own hearts, that we may see just where we are really pleasing the Lord, to make it our real aim in life to please Him, even though it may mean being obedient at a tremendous cost. So the Lord help us.